Men, when we leave the house, it's phone, wallet, keys, how's my hair look? But if you're experiencing hair loss, you may not be so confident when you step outside your door. It's time to get that confidence back and restore your hair with Hims. No man wants to lose his hair, but for men, it's actually very common. And now with Hims, the solution is simple. Try Hims Hair Loss Solution, and you'll be joining hundreds of thousands of subscribers who got their flow back. Man, real talk. The only thing worse than losing your hair is waiting forever to see if it'll grow back. That's why you need Hims. You can start seeing your hair grow back in as little as 3 to 6 months. Hims provides access to a range of hair loss treatments that work, all from the comfort of your couch. Hims makes treating hair loss simple with doctor-trusted treatment options and clinically proven ingredients that can regrow hair in as little as 3 to 6 months. They offer personalized, chewable, oral, spray, or serum treatment options that you can find works best for you. The process is simple and 100% online. Just answer a few of the questions, and a medical provider will determine if treatment is right for you. If prescribed, your treatment is sent directly to your door. Hims has hundreds of thousands of trusted subscribers, so if you feel like you're losing a part of yourself with your hair loss, get Hims and get your confidence back. Start your free online visit today at hims.com/drinkingbrossports. That's hims.com/drinkingbrossports for your personal hair loss treatment options. hims.com/drinkingbrossports. Results may vary based on studies of topical and oral minoxidil. Prescription products require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if a prescription is appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for full details and important safety information.
Welcome to Drinking Bros, presented by GhostBed.com. Sit back, relax, and grab a fucking drink.
Yeah, welcome to the NFL Week 4 Prediction Show, brought to you by MyBookie.com. Promo code DRINKINGBROS doubles that first deposit all the way up to $1,000. Definitely going to need it after this weekend. I've been horrific in the NFL this year. D'Anthony, today's your day. I'm going to give you your flowers. Derek's off hunting elk in the woods. He's had some terrible predictions, so I told him to stay in the woods today, but you have not. You've been dead on with pretty much every assessment this year, and we'll start with Jaden Daniels. Jaden Daniels, you and I thought was going to be a superstar, was going to be the quarterback of this draft, and a lot of teams didn't see that. They took Caleb Williams, they took Drake May, and then Jaden Daniels is excelling up there in Washington. Mm-hmm. Current favorite for Rookie of the Year right now. Did you watch the game on Monday night against the Bengals?
Yeah.
Yeah. And you were the only one to take him, too.
Yeah, because he's the best player in that draft. So, and talent, well, a part of it as well was that the Bengals, they're not good. Right? Like, they've got pieces, but just like the Cowboys, they have no team cohesion, no team identity. Mm-hmm. And then the Bengals doubled down on that issue with having a shitty offensive line. It's just not good, to be honest. And they don't have Mixon's gone, the run game. They did okay in the run game. They had 124 yards in this game, but that's mostly because the Redskins are soft on run defense.
Yeah, there was no defense on either side. Yeah. There was no punts in this game, no turnovers in this game for the first time in a long time in an NFL game. And then Jaden Daniels was nearly perfect in this.
Well, he doesn't turn the ball over.
Ever. It appears.
Right. Like it's been a slow build. They haven't been exposing him too much.
Which is smart.
Yeah.
It's your first round pick.
He's a rookie quarterback. So, mm-hmm. And he's particularly good on the ground as well. So why risk it? You know, especially in this early part of the season where at Tampa Bay was a tough game because Baker is Baker, right? And they've got weapons down there. The defense in Tampa Bay is also pretty decent. But then they got Giants. At Bengals could have been a tough game, mm-hmm. maybe, but going into this week, it didn't seem like it would be to me. And then they go at Arizona this week, which I think is another very winnable game for them.
It'll be a fun game to watch.
Yeah, not a lot of defense is going to be played there.
No,
on either side of the ball, so that'll be fun. But yeah, he's He's the best player in the draft. He's got some weapons. I mean, again, the backfield, not that they used them all that much in this game, but the backfield of Brian Robinson and Eckler, that's like you're going to be hard-pressed to find a better 1-2 combo in the NFL than that. Then you have Jaden Daniels, who's probably the best running quarterback in the league now.
Right? Scary Terry at wide receiver.
Yeah. And Luke McCaffrey's good. Ertz has actually been good this year again. So maybe he's making it. He hasn't played in 4 years, so maybe he's been resting up
maybe
for this season.
Maybe that time off.
But yeah, Austin Eckler's catching passes out there in the flat as well. Brian Robinson also can catch the ball a little bit. I think as they start to open up this playbook more, it's going to be a shootout with them. Right. No matter what week it is, it's going to be a shootout, and which gives you a chance to win.
It gives the fan base something to be excited about with Jaden Daniels.
Yeah. So I think they can probably win 8 or 9 games this year just because of how much talent they have. Now, it's not a good team. It's not if they make the playoffs, they're getting crushed in the first round.
Yeah.
And I don't think they'll make the playoffs anyways, because they're in that division's not exactly the easiest division. The Cowboys stink right now, but they'll get better.
Yeah.
They'll make the playoffs. So, yeah, I love it for the Redskins. They've got a new ownership group. They're firing that old bisexual team president after this season that everybody hates. All the players hate him. All the front office people hate him too. But he was a DEI hire, and now he's been on the show actually.
Big shock.
Yeah. He's not well liked. So he's gone after this season, new coaching staff, new ownership group, and they've got a franchise player in Washington for when's the last time they had one?
When's the last time they had a good quarterback?
Kirk Cousins was good, but he's not the guy to take you to the next level or anything, and he's not electric.
RG3's like rookie year.
He was really good.
That was really fun to watch.
To be honest, I feel bad for RG3 because they fucked him over.
They fucked him, and hopefully the same thing doesn't happen with Jaden Daniels because they're pretty close to the same goddamn guy.
Listen, all right, takes a big man to admit he was wrong. Jaden Daniels might be much better than I thought. He had more touchdowns than incompletions last game. Jerry's still out, but for now, I will say he is much better than I thought.
For now,
I will give all the credit though to Cliff Kingsbury, the OC.
Yeah.
That's another big part of it. Kingsbury coming in there.
Finally doing what he does well.
Stay there, dude. Yes, forever.
Be an OC forever.
Once they use free agency in the draft, because they're going to have a bunch of cap space, especially with a second-year quarterback, right? They're going to go out and get another receiver. They're going to get a couple of defensive players, maybe an offensive lineman, and this is a playoff team next year for sure, right?
Could be.
Which is not could be. They've got all the talent for it, unless they fire Cliff Kingsbury, right? All you got to do is bring in a competent DC.
They got Dan Quinn.
All you got to do is give Dan Quinn the tools at DC. And this is a fucking... They probably win that division, right? Exciting for the Redskins. They haven't been good
in a very
long
time.
For more than 1 year at a time since the fucking 80s, right?
RG3, I think, was the last time
He had that one good year, and he got hurt at the end of it, right?
Yeah.
And they just kind of fucking spiraled after that.
Before that, though, you had... Joey Gibbs came back for a couple years and...
They had a 2 or 3 year playoff run, but they never got out of the first round, I don't think. It's been a rough 30 fucking years.
Yeah, and they've got a good fan base. Like when you go there, they're definitely all in on the Redskins.
Well, they want the Redskins back, right? And the chief, what's his nuts, family, whatever the original Redskins logo. Who that chief, I believe, made the logo himself, or somebody in the tribe made the logo and gave it to him. Yeah. They're fucking petitioning Washington to change the team name back to the Redskins and change the logo back to this.
Yeah.
And if they do that, then
they're all the way back.
Nature's healing.
John Two Guns Whitecalf.
Dude, that's a fucking dope name.
Hell yeah, dude.
As far as engine name goes, Two Guns.
It's great. How do you get better than that?
I don't know. I want to meet this guy. His family or something. Just have him on the show.
They are of the Blackfoot tribe.
Mm. Oh, shit. That's the chick from the DiCaprio movie that you watched, Delco.
Yeah.
Whatever her name is, that's the same tribe, by the way. So good for them, dude. They're everywhere. Look at that. Just doing Oscar shit, maybe doing NFL shit.
You never watched it?
I didn't watch it. You soured me on it. It was 3.5 hours and
it was too long.
You said it was too long and it wasn't that great.
It was fine. It just could have, it would have been much better if it was, you know, an hour shorter.
That's what The Irishman was like to me. So everything you described was my description of The Irishman, his last movie, and I was like, eh, I'm all good.
What about the Washington Blackfeet then?
That's weird. Yeah. That's weird. I don't think they're going to approve Blackfeet if they're not doing blackface.
Everybody who just wears black socks and shoes.
Yeah, are you wearing Blackfeet? Are you in Blackfeet today? You get a lot of those questions.
You catch some fucking like Luke McCaffrey spray painting his feet black. Yep.
And you're like, and you're it's like, racist.
Luke, no.
No, 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 no.
Sorry, you can't do that.
No, no. But yeah, as long as they're not running him the way they were RG3, he could be fine. Not that he really needs to, because he's a really fucking accurate passer. Right now, as far as rookies of the year on mybookie.com, he's in the lead. Then you got Marvin Harrison Jr. and then Malik Nabers there.
You say
one of the three of those guys will win it.
You say accurate passer, which is accurate, but also an understatement. Like it's 80%.
No, I know. It's the best through three games of any rookie in the history of the NFL.
I mean, that's fucking nuts. And you can make the, like, oh, he's only throwing short this or whatever. He's not throwing that much. He's fourth in the league in average yards per attempt.
I mean, all you have to do is look at the one touchdown to Terry was a fucking
Up this last game.
The first two games,
I think, like, 40% of plays were behind the line of scrimmage.
You know what he is right now, and I hate to make this comparison because it could go sideways, but he's a young Josh Allen right now. He's got a fucking cannon for an arm.
Yeah.
Runs the ball really well, throws the ball really well. He's more accurate than Allen is. But Allen's actually been pretty accurate this year.
Well, we'll get into it.
He's improved quite a bit. Josh Allen has this year. I just still think he's a loser.
We'll get into it because they're asking everybody. Well, we're going to find out this week.
He gets that look in his eyes when the shit's on the line.
And, and we will find out this week.
He literally took the lead with 12 seconds.
Yeah, I know. He does it all the time.
He beat Mahomes. Like, by all intents and purposes, he beat Mahomes.
Look, Mahomes beat Brady at the game we were at. He should have an extra ring, too, but there's nothing you can do.
He
lost a coin toss.
I mean, that Buccaneers game, they got fucking the Super Bowl, they got rolled.
No,
Patriots. Yeah. The 2018.
Dan and I AFC were there. Championship it was game. 38-31, I think, in overtime.
Yeah, but when you take
the
lead.
It was a literal coin toss, and then the Chiefs didn't get the ball.
You take the lead with 12 seconds left, you win that game.
You should, but you know, that's not how life goes, unfortunately. Yeah, he's a loser now because of it.
It sucks.
Daniels looks like a better young version of Josh Allen. And the reason that he's probably better at this point. I don't necessarily think there's a huge skill disparity, but there's definitely a mindset disparity, and it's from playing at LSU versus playing at North Dakota State or wherever the fuck you came from.
Wyoming.
It's like you play for coaches who have had experience in the professional leagues versus Wyoming. And that is just what it is, and that's why he's been successful so early. I mean,
Allen could have transferred.
The fact he could have easily, but he didn't, is what I'm saying. He didn't get that experience. And now he's getting it in the NFL, and that's not always a good thing. It can go either way. We've seen guys from big universities have too many weapons on the field and never learn how to do things the right way, just like a startup company with too much money, right? Just never learns the right lessons. And then we've seen him come into the league from a small university, or your guy from the Eagles back in the day, Carson Wentz, came from a small place, Brock Purdy from a small place. They all did well in the NFL, right? Wentz just can't stay healthy, but he's a good quarterback. I don't know. Daniels is in about as good a fucking position as you can be in.
Right now,
Being at a young cap light team with Cliff Kingsbury as your head coach as a quarterback with that kind of skill is about as good a position as you can be in. Conversely, the Bears.
It's a goddamn train wreck.
Jaden Daniels is probably thanking whatever God he believes in, Allah or whomever. I don't know if it's Allah, Krishna.
Not sure.
Vishnu.
Whoever.
But he's probably thanking everybody that I'm not in Chicago right now, which everybody should always thank someone that you're not in Chicago.
Yeah.
I agree. Every day. Wake up in the morning, take your vitamins, take your fucking first warm vitamins, and just look up to heaven and be like, God, thank you.
For not
putting me on the Bears. If you're poor right now. Even if you're poor, it would be better to be poor than to be rich on the Bears.
I still think Caleb's going to be fine. I mean, he proved it this last week. He can sling it a bit. it's going to be some ups and downs, some like peaks and valleys.
He's going to be fine.
He'll be okay.
Anytime you can't get, you don't have elite pass rushers, he'll show out for that game. it'll be three or four games a year, and they'll be like, see, he can do it.
He has no
line.
And
then every other game, he gets wrecked.
I mean, he has no line.
No line, but neither did Fields all those years. And now you're seeing Fields with a line. He's 3-0 over there. Like, in my opinion, there was just no need to draft him, but
the Steelers will. The Steelers will come back. They got to get closer to 500.
Who?
The Steelers.
They're 3-0 right now.
I know. They got to regress. They got to go back to 500.
They can't be like
5 or 6 games above 500.
The way they're playing, I like it. And let's get into it, cuz we'll go to the Josh Allen thing here, cuz this will feed into everything else about running these quarterbacks. My biggest thing with Jaden Daniels is I hope they don't run him into the ground like RG3. The biggest thing with Josh Allen that I said in the prediction show before the year started was when you blow up a team like this and you have no weapons, it is all on Josh Allen to do everything.
Yeah.
Now, for the first three games...
But he's lucky to be... Not lucky, but it's a better situation for him because he's 6'5", 240.
Yes, right? But it's... The first three games have been easy. Mm. You got the Cardinals, Dolphins, that's the game that Tua died in. And then, obviously, you have the Jaguars last week. Now it's going to get fucking hard. He's going to be at the Ravens this week, which we'll talk about, at the Texans. Next game is at the Jets. So they're playing three games on the road against three very good teams that could definitely beat them. And then it eases up with the Titans, and then they're at the Seahawks. Dolphins again, you're fine. Colts, you're fine. Then the Chiefs, then the 49ers. The Rams, who knows if any of those guys will come back by then. Then you're at the Lions, Patriots, Jets again, and then Patriots to close it out. Now their schedule is really starting here this week, and we'll find out what he's able to do. I'm not convinced a guy can be the quarterback, can be the leading rusher on your fucking team, and you can still go through an entire season injury-free like this. Like,
yeah.
It's nuts, dude.
Yeah, I mean, it's...
he's playing very well. Three shitty people, but we'll see how he does against the Ravens.
The Dolphins smoked the Dolphins before he got hurt.
Yeah,
like, they were killing the Dolphins before Tua got hurt. And also, the Cardinals are good.
They're okay. The defense is weak, but they could score, so it'll be we'll see how it goes. But yeah, I
this week you'll find out. It's the Ravens. You're at the Ravens. Let's see who he really is. Well, I mean, that's all we can really say there. But to that point, I don't know if you saw this press conference earlier, but Deshaun Watson said that, hey, dude, I'm not looking to do any more design QB runs. Like, I'm all done with that. So can we take that off the fucking board?
Deshaun Watson said that?
Yes.
I mean, he's going to have to perform at anything they give him before he starts making fucking demands about the fucking playbook.
It feels in poor taste.
Jesus Christ.
Feels in poor taste to request more handoffs.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Deshaun Watson.
You know what it is?
Do you know what his exact response was today at this presser?
What?
Was, I'm not a running back. That's what he said to everyone at the presser today, and it was just like, okay, cool, but you are the guy that we paid $250 million to, all guaranteed in cash, and you're gonna do what the fuck we tell you to, because you're an employee and we fucking pay your salary. So yeah, if I'm the coach of the Browns and I don't know who it is, fucking call 20 design runs in a row and fuck this guy.
Yeah.
Get him out. Like, if he gets injured, he gets injured.
Well,
who gives a shit? Turn it over to Jameis. It can't get any worse there.
In three seasons since this contract started, and keep in mind that the first year...
Has it been three?
Yeah, in the first year of the contract, technically, he was suspended the whole time. Technically, right, in 21. So in the 3 years, well, let's call it 2 years and three games so far, he's played a total of 15 games. So not even a full season. And he's hovering around 60% completion. He barely broke 1,000 yards in the first two seasons. Touchdown interception ratio is basically 1-1 over that time period, maybe 1.5-1. You know, I don't know financially when they're... Let me look up his contract.
Yeah, while you look that up, I'm going to read his exact statement because I just got the transcripts of it here. Here's exactly what he said today at the press conference. I'm not going in there to ask them for more design runs. If I don't have to run, I'm not going to run. I'm not trying to take any more hits. I'm not a running quarterback in a sense. I can make things happen, but I'm not trying to run. I'm not a running back. It's not my specialty. They signed me to throw the ball, make decisions, and be a quarterback, not a runner. I don't agree with that. What made him an electric player was that he could run the fucking ball. He did it in college and torched everyone. Yeah, dude, that's what you got hired to do.
Yeah.
It's a 50-50 gig. Now, if you're saying that about C.J. Stroud, no. He never ran the ball in college. So That's not the guy that they signed. The guy that they signed is to be a pocket passer, exactly what he's doing for the Texans. But Deshaun Watson ran the fucking ball and was elite at it. So, yeah, dude, that is what they got you for.
Ooh, boy, they're going to have to restructure this.
How bad is it?
This year, it's not bad. Cap hit is 27.9. Next year, 2025, the cap hit is 72.9.
Oh, my
million.
God.
And then the year after that, 72.9 million. And then the year after that, 27 again. They can void the contract after 26, but that's two more seasons of this. And they have $145 million in cap hit.
Jesus Christ.
The dead cap on him, if they cut him right now, the dead cap would be $200 million.
I mean, you're looking at a Russell Wilson number there. Mm-hmm. His was somewhere in the 180 range, I think.
Look, the Browns were doing okay. They had put together a pretty good defense. They got Nick Chubb on a team-friendly deal, who is an elite running back. Now, he's hurt this year, but he'll be back.
Week five. Projected to be. Ford is a great backup.
Yeah, Jerome Ford is a good number two guy, and they've cycled in good number two guys over the years. Kareem Hunt was one. They've had them over the years. They've brought in a couple of receivers here and there.
Amari Cooper, great defense.
And Njoku's good. They've got Myles Garrett, who's one of the best defenders in the league, and they've got an overall pretty good defense. They have butt-fucked this franchise.
Yes.
For 10 years.
Yep.
They won't recover from this for a decade. And keep in mind where the Browns were right before all this started. 3 years in a row, I think, drafting a quarterback in the first round or some shit like that, including Johnny Manziel. Like, what the fuck?
I think
fuck
they had 26
thinking?
Different quarterbacks in the last, like, 19 years or something.
That's where they're going to be again.
Yep.
To be honest, I think they should move this franchise out of Cleveland.
Well, they already did that.
Or not move it out of Cleveland, excuse me. They should make this guy sell. They got to get rid of these people. There's got to be some, in professional sports ownership, there's got to be some kind of standard. That if you're that incompetent at it, you can't do the job. It's not good for the league to have a major U.S. city suffer for 25 fucking years.
I mean, same.
It's so bad to put that bad of a product on the field. I really feel like there should be a board, a governor's board of maybe it's the owners or maybe it's somebody else. Who knows? But like, hey, you're bad at this. You've got to go.
I mean, dude, fucking like Stan Kroenke purposefully tanked the team in St. Louis to depress attendance to the point where he could move it.
Yeah, he fucking major leagued it.
Yeah.
Like, 100% did it in real life.
Yeah, 100%. And honestly, the Oakland A's owners are both that and also just incompetent to the point of absurdity. Like,
and Oakland's a shithole, so that doesn't help either. But yeah,
they're out of there.
Everything that can go wrong went wrong in Oakland.
But here's the sad thing. Besides the quarterback situation, it's a decent team, man, and you'll never be able to do anything with it. Losing the Giants, who's the worst team in football, certainly doesn't fucking help.
I mean, right now, if I'm the Browns, I start trading everybody and get as many draft picks as I can. Like, I mean everybody. I trade Amari Cooper. I trade Jerry Jeudy, Elijah Moore. I get rid of all of them. Fucking Myles Garrett's gone. Everybody.
They'll probably
get like fucking five first round picks every year for the next 10 years. Get rid of everybody. Maybe keep Devin Bush because he's still young. I think he's a really good linebacker out of Michigan.
He's great. Myles Garrett's great.
But Myles Garrett is fucking 28 now.
And he's got a foot problem right now.
He's got a foot problem as an edge rusher. I mean, it's going to start going downhill for him pretty quick. He's an elite guy. Don't get me wrong. But it's just like, I'm talking about the economics of how this all works now. You've got to fucking get rid of all these people, get draft picks, rebuild with a younger team that's going to still be young enough to compete when you get out of this mess and you can draft a quarterback. Otherwise, you're fucked for 10 years. The half measures, the soft rebuilds, especially in the NFL, they don't work. You've got to, because of the economics of the game, because of the cap, and because a quarterback's going to cost you $50 to $60 million, unless he's in his first 4 years. You have to structure your team that way, the same way the 49ers do. That is the winning formula, right? You might get lucky and do what the Chiefs are doing, but that's all going to fall apart after this year, right? Like,
probably.
Like, they're not going to be able to keep all this together and that offensive line. They can't. You just can't. The economics of the game don't allow for it. So I don't know. I mean, if I'm a
Mahomes did restructure.
If I'm a Cleveland fan, I'm pissed.
Yeah, but Cleveland fans have been pissed for 50 years. You guys know the rules on this show. We'll go over last week's winners and losers. A lot of losers on my end, a lot of winners on Dan's end, and then we'll get to the picks for this week. We'll start with the Thursday night game, which you called. You said this would be Aaron Rodgers' breakout game. It certainly was. 27 of 35, 281, two touchdowns. Nice to see Garrett Wilson involved over there. This was a complete and utter shithouse.
But it was still a... I wouldn't say sloppy game, but this is not as good as the Jets can play, you know.
No, and they'll get better. He gets better as the season goes on.
They kind of opened it up a little bit, but not that much. But this is what you can't do is give Aaron Rodgers a great defense and two good running backs, Braylon Allen and Breece Hall. Mm-hmm. He can't have all that, because otherwise, what he's good at, even at 40, is fucking picking apart a defense if he's got time. Which two good running backs will allow for, and if the defense will not give up 40 fucking points, if they average 24 points a game this year, they're going to win fucking 15 games.
I have the Jets on my fantasy for defense, and they've been crushing it for me. So yeah, keep on rolling. You got it. Giants Browns didn't touch it. Told you not to watch it. Turned out to be true here. 21-15.
I took the under.
That's right. You
38.5, and I won that one too.
Yeah. I didn't touch this game. I didn't watch it. Packers, Titans, help me figure this out with Malik Willis here. I'm going to pull up his stats from this game.
Well, the Titans suck. That's the only thing you really know.
This is that fucking style of football again, man, where they're not letting the quarterback throw 20 times, and he led the team in rushing again. It's working until Jordan Love comes back. They're 2-1. You got to be amped about that if you're the Packers fan. Because when Jordan Love comes back... Fuck, dude, you're winning games, and all you need is a win. It doesn't really matter how ugly it is or what this guy is doing, how ugly it is to watch.
I think I think when Jordan Love comes back, they should still play Malik Willis, but as a running back.
Put him in there as a runner? Yeah.
Yeah, and then imagine the flea flicker opportunities if you have two guys who can both run the ball and both throw the ball at the same time. Now, I'm not saying Malik Willis is a world beater with his arm, but he can throw the ball well enough, right?
He can.
Nobody's ever tried that before. I think that would be really interesting to see.
I think he's done his job there. Just get one more W out of him, and then you can move on there. It was a payback game against the Titans there, who cut him, or traded him, I should say. Next up was Bears versus Colts. Gross. Gross game all the way around here. Caleb Williams lost again. A lot of numbers on the board, but... One was like a 50-yard bomb towards the end of the game there. 33 for 52, though. That's a lot of misses out there. And Richardson hasn't looked good this year either. Next up was Texans-Vikings. All right, I lost this bad. This was Texas minus one.
Everybody lost this.
God damn it, man.
It was minus two. That's what it closed
when I
out.
Got. Well, we do the show earlier in the week, so I usually bet on the day. And, I got it at one. I had this in every teaser, everything you could possibly imagine across the board, and I got fucking destroyed here. Mixon was out for this game for the Texans. Not that it really mattered. At one point it was 21-0 in the third. Aaron Jones has been fantastic on fantasy for me. The rise of Durr. He's back, so maybe this is his starting point, just like Baker's was. I alluded to this last week. We'll see what he does with a full season there, because there's nobody behind him, nobody coming for his job, and he can continue to learn this offense.
By the way, a trivia piece was going viral after that game. Sam Darnold's like 27.
Oh, yeah.
He's really young.
Yeah, he is.
Like, he's not, it's not like this is like Carson Palmer still sticking around or Andy Dalton, right?
Do you know,
like,
why we think that, though, Bob? Is because we've seen him on like 8 different teams already at 27 years old. So, yeah, I thought he was like 32, like for sure. And I was shocked when I looked that up, too. I was like, oh, fuck. You know, the other shocker was, look up Andy Dalton's age. I thought Andy Dalton, for some reason, was like 40 or 41 years old.
36 sounds right to me.
36?
Yeah.
I thought he was like in his 40s. No lie. I thought he was like 42 years old. But either way, look, the Vikings are winning. Congratulations to your fans there. Who keep writing skull over and over and over again on all my social media posts. But look, you're not winning a goddamn Super Bowl. It's fun, though. You're 3-0 right now, and I'll let you enjoy this moment. Lost a lot of money, though. Eagles. All right. Won a lot of money on that. Thank you for giving me 2.5 points. Delco, you were at this game. Saquon Barkley, man. Thank God I drafted him in all my leagues. He is fucking murking it for me out there on the field. Mm-hmm. Saved the day there down there in New Orleans for you guys. Ripped off not only a huge run there to get you close, then got the touchdown, then got the two-point conversion. He's fun to watch with a good line. 17 carries, 142 yards for him.
Yeah, most of which were on that play immediately after Devonta Smith died.
Yep, RIP. So quick question for you, Delco, because obviously this is your team. I have him in fantasy, Devonta Smith, on one of my teams. It still lists him as questionable this week. I don't know how that's possible after what we saw on the field.
It's concussed, so I imagine he'll probably sit this weekend.
Has to. But so far, if you're in ESPN Fantasy or Yahoo or whatever, they've still got him listed at like 16.2 points this week. And I was like, yeah, cool. In a dream world, that'd be fucking rad. But he died last week. I think it'd be dangerous to put him out there again. When does A.J. Brown come back?
We don't know. Okay. He could also miss this week.
Hamstring? Either way, if you're an Eagles fan, I think it's encouraging that the defense held this team to 12 points because the Saints have been dropping 40 a game here. Next up was Chargers Steelers. Justin Fields, let him do a lot more than they has in the last 2 weeks over there. Let him throw the ball 32 times. It's the highest number on the season. They look great. Tomlin said, hey, dude, I don't even need to think we have to have this discussion about who's starting. It's going to be Fields.
Yeah, and just as a reminder, before the season started, before the preseason started, I said the Fields should be the quarterback. It luckily worked out for them. Mm-hmm. But I don't think if Wilson had been healthy, they would be in a really bad position right now.
I agree.
They got super lucky that he's made of glass.
Yep.
To be honest, because he is just a fucking cancer as a personality. Doesn't match in any way what they do in Pittsburgh. Nothing about him. It's like, I spend $3 million a year keeping myself healthy. I'm like, well, you're not.
Yeah, you're definitely not healthy.
Talk about you and your fucking, what was it? Born again virgin? You and your fucking girlfriend?
Yeah.
And you guys had a kid?
Wait till the pics come out of Sierra at the Diddy parties.
Just stop, dude. To be honest, I don't know that I've ever seen a worse culture fit than Russell Wilson in Pittsburgh. They just don't play that bullshit there.
No.
I mean, the city and the franchise, they've never been like that.
No. And the players, they're all, besides, oh shit, man, even when fucking Brown before CTE, he was fucking great up there. But Steelers are rolling, man, 3-0. Tomlin continues to go. Oof, next up, he's not here. I got Bonixed this weekend. Decided to play quarterback. I don't know what happened in this game. 26-7. Baker did not bake. Nobody did anything. It didn't seem like Tampa Bay even woke up for this game. I lost my fucking ass on this.
He forgot the mix.
Apparently. It's flour. You were missing flour in those cookies, or they're not going to rise.
Well, you know, if you look at a cookie, you can tell what went wrong just by looking at it, right? Like if there was too much butter, too much flour, too much salt, or not enough of any of those things, too much heat, not enough. In this game, there was nothing. It was terrible. You can't lose at home to the fucking Broncos.
To the worst team, no. This was a bad loss for these guys.
Yeah, I mean, they didn't. Rashad White didn't run the ball very well.
Nobody did anything well in this game. This is one of those games where coaches behind the scenes, like anybody who's played high school or college or whatever, they'll chuck tape and be like, let's not even look at this.
Yeah.
This is definitely that game where they're like, dude, there's nothing to learn from this. None of you showed up. Just do better.
I mean, giving up 350 yards to Denver and then going 3-for-11 on third down at home is like, I don't know what the fuck they were doing. Turning the ball over twice. Up. It's like, I think they overlooked this game. They're like, oh, Denver sucks.
Yeah.
We just got to phone it in. And this is the NFL. You can't do that any week. The worst team in the league can still beat you, as we just saw.
Speaking of which, the worst team in the league did win. This next one, Panthers, Raiders. Fuck. Andy Dalton shows up, 319, three touchdowns, 26-37, hasn't played in how many fucking years? I mean, what the fuck,
Well, this is just a function of Gardner Minshew being terrible.
He's great, and he's the answer up there. He's the answer everywhere.
He's not the answer anywhere.
I wish he was in Atlanta so much, but no, look, the defense didn't stop anything. You can't give up 36 points to the fucking Panthers, bro.
Aiden O'Connell did better in this game.
Look, you threw him in at the end, but they were down by 80 at that point. Like, I don't blame him. No lie. It was 27-7 at the end of the third. So, like, yeah, dude, empty out the bench in this one. Carolina God damn, if you're Bryce Young watching this on the bench too, what do you even say to yourself here?
That Andy Dalton is quite a bit better than me.
Oof,
that's a brutal one. That's what I would be thinking. Which is fair because Andy Dalton has played almost 200 games in his NFL career, and he's also a full-grown man.
Yeah, and he's won playoff games before.
Yeah.
Next up was Dolphins Seahawks. Now, this one we got. I did not expect their second quarterback to die in this game, but that's what happened. Skylar Thompson was down for a long time. People thought it was something severe, which it was this close to being. Apparently, it was like a really bad broken rib that went on the inside or whatever the fuck it is. But he's out.
He had a compound rib fracture?
Yes.
Wow.
It was awful.
That's not good.
Yeah. I mean, it looked really bad on when I was watching the game. And I'm trying to find out. So Tim Boyle is now their starter there. What the fuck, bro? They got a lot of talent here. They've got to trade for a quarterback, like right now, tomorrow.
Yeah.
If they want a shot at this season, or maybe they just phone it in. Shitty part is Tyreek Hill went top five in most fantasy football drafts, including my own. And I have him on one of my teams. I'm fucking stuck because he could break out at any time with any quarterback, but I don't know what to do with Tim Boyle.
Bring back Tua.
No.
Let him play.
I mean, God. Tim Boyle's not going to get it done, but I don't know. There's no quarterbacks out there unless...
They did call for Bryce Young. They did make that call.
I think they should.
And Carolina says we're not trading him. So three teams called. Dolphins were one of them. That I can confirm, but they're not trading him. I'd go after Tannehill. Tannehill with these receivers... And the fan base likes him. I think this is the right move. I don't know why nobody's making that call right now, but it's not Tim Boyle. And it's Skylar Thompson's dead. You got two dead quarterbacks. And Tim Boyle's next. So, yeah, call Tannehill. Get him in there.
Go get Flacco.
Yes. Go get Flacco or fucking Tannehill, dude. You have, with those receivers, both of those guys could get this job done and at least go to a wild card. You're only 1-2. Make the fucking call, dude. I don't get it. I'm not even a Dolphins fan. It's just frustrating to watch. All these great players.
I mean, there's a lot. Yeah, there's a lot of backup QBs out there right now. I think we mentioned Sam Howell the other day. Mm-hmm. You still got Mitch Trubisky.
Nope.
Give Trey Lance a shot, maybe.
No.
And then we said Drew Locke, and then he mentioned Flacco.
I think Flacco, I would go in this order. Tannehill, Flacco, and then Drew Locke.
Maybe like a Sam Howell.
Yes. Like Sam Howell at fourth, for sure. Those would be my four guys.
They're not coming up off. Anybody that's got Sam Howell's not trading him because he's their number two guy and he's a competent number two.
I think it's Seattle.
You'd be out of your goddamn mind to trade your number two quarterback in the game in the fourth week of the season.
I agree. And Bob looked this up because I believe it's Seattle. And if it is Seattle, then no, you're not trading him because if Geno goes down, you could easily slot in Sam Howell with the best fucking receivers in football and have a blast up there. So, yeah, I don't see that happening if Sam Howell is in Seattle, is it?
Yeah.
Okay.
It is Sam Howell.
So yeah, they're not getting rid of him. So you can take him off the board. But those other three are out there. And
you know who might
calls.
You know who might actually be available?
Tom Brady.
Jimmy G might be available. He's on the Rams right now, but isn't he the third stringer on the Rams? And he was suspended for the first game of the season.
No, he's two there. The other kid was Georgia. Not kid, man. He's 30 years old.
Who?
Stetson Bennett.
Oh, yeah. I would, if I'm the Rams, I 100% trade Jimmy Garoppolo and try to get a second or third round.
Why
draft.
Not? The Rams aren't going anywhere.
I don't know that anybody would be interested. Garoppolo's not very good, but he's.
With Tyreek Hill, it's kind of.
The thing that Garoppolo is good at is the slant. So,
Waddle and Hill. Shit, dude. It'd be fun.
If you're the Rams, why hold on to him? When you've got, Stetson Bennett isn't going to be an NFL quarterback. Let's be real about that. No. But who cares?
Who cares?
The Rams aren't going to win anything.
No, just get some picks and do what you can.
Let's run back the Tommy DeVito experience.
Oh, boy. Gross. That's gross.
Wait, he's in New York, right? Still?
He's like a third string quarterback.
Yeah, he's in New York. Next up was Ravens at the Cowboys here. Look, we always say Derrick Henry heats up in week 3-4, boom, he did it. 25 carries, 151 yards, 2 touchdowns. It's almost as if he just takes the first 3 games off, and then he's just like, all right, this is my preseason. I'll get in shape when I want to, and then I'll fucking dominate. He did. Ravens, this game, was, I know it's 28-25, but if you watched it, it was a blowout the entire game. Cowboys came back and scored three touchdowns in the fourth. That's the only reason this is remotely close.
But it wasn't in real life.
No. No.
The Cowboys are bad. They're all either not talking or blaming each other.
Well, they didn't pick up anybody in the offseason. So if you want to blame somebody, blame Jerry Jones, that Rico Dowdle is your number one running back. Like, you did nothing in the offseason. You didn't pick up anyone across the board. Your one free agency pickup was Ezekiel Elliott, who had three carries in this game for 6 yards. So what the fuck are you doing there? If you're going to give the money to Dak and CeeDee Lamb and all these fucking guys and Tank Lawrence and everybody else, win or try to. I don't, not getting a running back in the draft doesn't make any fucking sense here whatsoever, or getting one of these free agent picks. Strange. So yeah, they did this to themselves, and I don't see a way out of it.
Well, Jerry was talking about how we can't afford blah blah blah. It's like, all right, I guess. I mean,
but he didn't know that then, because yeah, these two people, Dak and CeeDee Lamb, didn't get their contracts until the end of training camp. Your free agency pickup is fucking March and April and May. So that's not an excuse. It's an excuse now, but it wasn't back then. So none of this makes sense with the Cowboys. And they're 1-2, and it makes me sad because I want Cowboys fans on a high, and then the carpet, you know, gets ripped out from underneath them after that, and we don't have that this year. They suck from the get-go. Next up, 49ers, Rams. Look, I watched this game. It was fun. There was a bunch of drinking bros talking shit about the 49ers, and then they lost. At the end here, it wasn't Purdy's fault on this one. I watched this game. Man, I got fucking torched by Ryan Mills in fantasy, by the way. I played him this week. Destroyed him. Then a guy named Juwan Jennings comes in and has 47.5 points in fantasy.
Yeah, he's going to have a big week this week, too.
Well, everybody's out over there. Yeah. So Samuel's out. McCaffrey's out. I'm hearing McCaffrey's out for the year, by the way.
Maybe, yeah. Maybe.
He's seen three specialists about the Achilles, and he's going to some stem cell guy that you're talking about to try to figure it out this year. But yeah, I hear he's done. So
he might be, yeah. I mean, and that would be a big problem for San Francisco, who, by the way, is 1-2 now.
Mm-hmm.
Not great.
The best player in the league is out? Yeah, yeah. It's not great.
Yeah, I mean, Juwan Jennings is actually really good.
He is good.
Flies under the radar there because they've got a bunch of skill position players.
They got Ayuk, they got Samuel. Kittle. And Kittle was also out of this game. George Kittle's
Kittle will be back soon, I think. But, you know, Jordan Mason is a pretty good running back. He's put up good numbers in the two games, last two games. We'll see how it goes. They still got a really good defense. They can run the ball a little bit. And they've got Jennings, Ayuk, Kittle, and Brock Purdy. Debo will be back in a couple weeks, I think. So,
but to lose to the Rams, team, who are down, because Nakua's out. He's on my fantasy team. He's hurt. Cooper Kupp is dead. Looks like he's gone or whatever. Not a lot there. Aaron Donald's gone. This was it was a strange game, but yeah, hey, the Rams ended up winning it. Next up was Lions, Cardinals. This pretty much went as expected, I guess, except for the over in that one. It was 55.5, which was huge. There's not a lot of huge high scoring games here. So yeah, whenever you see a 55.5, go ahead and jack that up if you want to, because people really aren't hitting it that much. Chiefs, Falcons won this one. Shocker in this one to me, honestly, was that cutaway to Kelsey, and I'm not kidding. He looks exhausted. He looks tired. Now everybody else is starting to report on this. Even fucking Whoopi Goldberg on the goddamn View is talking about it, saying it's not Taylor Swift's fault that he's shitty this year. It's not that at all. Problem is, you can't fly all over the goddamn world, star in these movies, TV shows, all this other shit. Being on set is 12 hours a day. You have no time to work out. You have no time to do shit. And then you're flying back to wherever the fuck all these things are. He's doing Happy Gilmore 2 right now. Luckily, he's got the best quarterback in the world, and they don't really need him this year. Like, if he takes his time and finally comes back at the playoffs, great. But otherwise, they don't really need him. Rice is great. The receivers are good this year, so fuck it. He was their only option last year.
He does look tired.
Exhausted.
But I think he might look exhausted because he's getting double and triple teamed on every play. He's getting banged off the line every play.
That's what Mahomes said.
And he's getting double teamed off the line every play. Now, maybe that loosens up over the course of the season because Rashee Rice is very good.
Mm-hmm.
and
Xavier Worthy is very good.
Worthy is Tyreek Hill 2.0.
Could be.
My opinion.
Yeah.
We'll see how it goes for him. But yeah, I think you would think that it would open up over the course of the season for him. I mean, I remember that my brain is just thinking back to those Jordan playoffs against Detroit and what he looked like at the end of those series. Just get the shit kicked out of you every day for that amount of time, double teamed, fucking banged around all the time. Yeah, it's going to exhaust you. If you're a guy that's used to fucking, and let's be real, Kelce is a good receiver, right?
Yeah.
Catches the ball well, runs good routes. He's not an elite route runner. He's a big dude. He's got great hands, runs after the catch really well, but he still plays tight end. You know what I mean? So he's not like an elite route runner or anything like that. And if he's getting jammed up by linebackers off the line and then picked up by strong safeties and jammed up again, it's going to exhaust him over the course of the season, over the course of a game, I mean, right? So how do you combat that? I don't know if you even try. Just keep throwing to the open guys.
Yeah.
That's the solution.
And like, I think you're fine.
Kelce may not like it, but that's the way it is.
It's going to fuck over everybody in fantasy. I don't know if he cares. I mean, look. Chiefs are 3-0.
About your fantasy team?
Yeah, no. Not about your fantasy team. I mean, about him getting catches now at 3-0, it's hard to bitch when you're undefeated. So you look like an asshole doing it. He hasn't done it so far, and rightfully so. Like, it's hard. You're on an undefeated team, and let's face it, he just signed a 2-year deal. He's got one more year after this. He's got a $100 million podcast deal. He's fine. Everything will be fine. The Chiefs will win the fucking Super Bowl again, and all will be right in the world, and nobody will care about this except for fantasy owners. Next up is Jags Bills. Interesting stat I saw on this one. Through the first 18 games of Trevor Lawrence's career versus the first 18 games of Bryce Young's career, Trevor Lawrence is worse than Bryce Young.
Wait, has Bryce Young played 18 games?
He has. Yes.
Did he play every game last year?
Yeah, played every Jesus game last Christ. Year. So he had 18 games. He had five more. Lawrence had five more interceptions, and the numbers aren't really close. Now, I said this last week, maybe it's because he's in Jacksonville that nobody cares and nobody's really paying attention to Trevor Lawrence.
But you mean maybe the reason that he's still playing in the league?
Yeah. It's because he's in Jacksonville. Nobody cares or pays attention. You got the fucking weird owner. You got another two home games in London. What do you really give a shit for? They're doing renovations on the stadium. So maybe ride this out for a couple years and then get rid of him after that. Because Jacksonville, and I hate to say it because I enjoyed going to that stadium there in Jacksonville. It's fun. It's a fun stadium to go to. They don't fucking give a shit about football, really. So he's at the right spot where he's just invisible. And we'll talk about it on a show like this or some other shows that you watch sports-wise. But, like, you get zero coverage down there. I didn't even find out who Blake Bortles was until the AFC Championship, for Christ's sakes. Like, this team just doesn't really exist in the real world. It feels like a fucking live team down there. So luckily, if you're going under the radar, Jacksonville's the place to do it. Bills, on the other hand, Josh Allen looked great. We'll find out, though, against the Ravens this week, what he's really made of down there and what their offense actually is, because I'm still not sure what it is. I mean, I'm looking at the Bills here, even your wide receivers. Khalil Shakir was your number one guy. James Cook is your running back who you're throwing to. Dalton Kincaid after that. I love Dalton Kincaid, but he's only at 41 yards. And then the rest of these guys are just, he threw to like nine different people here, all for like one catch a piece that are kind of fringe guys. I don't know really who this team is. And Josh Allen, once again, led the team in rushing there with 44 yards. So this week will be really fun to watch. Against the Ravens. Last but not least was the Redskins at the Bengals. You called this, and yeah, I lost that Jaguars game. I lost that fucking Bengals game, and disaster. Absolute disaster in the NFL.
It's going to be interesting to see.
You got both of these games.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see 5 years or so from now if we think back of this Burrow, Jamar Chase connection as the most squandered opportunity in NFL history, right? Like, honestly, Joe Burrow as a player is one of the best quarterbacks I've ever seen in my life.
Yep.
He reminds me of a mid-career Aaron Rodgers. Like, he's really good.
Yeah.
And they can't keep him upright. Oh my God, they let one of the better running backs in the league go, which fair enough, but it's not like he got paid a shitload of money to go to Houston.
No.
He just wanted to get the fuck out of there because they refuse still to build an offensive line that's competent.
And they didn't pay, they haven't paid Jamar Chase.
No, he's going to leave. If I'm Jamar Chase, there's no way I stay there. It would be one thing if they're like, if you're squabbling over contract stuff and it's about guaranteed money or the length of the contract or something like that, and they had done all the stuff that a franchise needs to do to make you successful on the field, but they've not done that.
No,
they didn't. They've tried, I guess, but they've been incompetent with the line, and you know, I just don't. Why would you want to stay there?
You know what I would do? I would do what that kid for UNLV did today, the quarterback who just left after three games. Jamar Chase should just leave. Just walk out. What do you care about the last number of that contract? He did it in college. He sat out his entire last year. Did a Jackson Smith and Jigma. He was just like, all right, fuck it. So if you're going to be healthy, he is probably the second best wide receiver in the league or close to it. Mm. Certainly top five. Sit out then. Why risk an injury if you're him and they're not going to pay you? They paid CeeDee Lamb, for Christ's sakes. So, yeah, dude, I would just sit it out. That UNLV guy is the wildest shit of all time. 3-0. And the quarterback says, now we're all good here, man. I didn't get paid my NIL money on time.
Matthew Sluka, and I support him 100%.
Same.
They tried to pull this mom-dad bullshit where the offensive coordinator offered him $100,000, and the head coach is like, well, that wasn't for me, so you're not going to get it. He's like, okay, deuces.
Yep. 3-0. See you later.
He's a good quarterback, and you're lucky to have him. What the fuck are you talking about? You can't find $100,000 in your NIL for him?
You guys loved him. You guys loved UNLV on outside the top 25.
Well, they're done now.
This just blows up the whole team.
This is during going into the Fresno State game, too, which is not
bit of a speed bump. Bit of a speed bump.
You think? You lost your starting quarterback who's 3-0?
You know, next man up.
I guess
there's no next man at UNLV.
I know, dude. I don't even know who that would be. We got some sponsors that put this show on the air. Got to do those. My bookie. Fuck you guys, dude. You know that I refilled my account this week. All right. NFL, man. Listen to Dan's Picks. I always say bet with us or against us. Bet against me and go with Dan's Picks. He's been on fire. I have been dog shit in the NFL this year, and I don't know that I'm getting any better. We'll find out, man, this week, because shit, this has been a brutal, brutal 2 weeks here in a row for daddy. But mybookie.com is still the best gambling site on the planet, in my opinion. The live casinos are incredible. If you watch Bob and Delco's Friday Night Blackjack show on Drinker Bros Sports, it's excellent. You're playing against real dealers from around the world. They do it with roulettes, poker, everything else. If you're a day one homie and a listener of the show, and you reload like I do all the time, they're going to give you a bonus for that. That's coming up soon. Bob chatted about that in Monday Morning Recap the other day, which is fun. And then the $1,000 double your deposit is always there. So, boom. Take advantage of it. Because let's face it, it's not fun unless we have money on the background of some of these games. And don't bet what you can't afford to lose. I know I say this two or three times a year. Even in my posts in Drinking Bros Sports, you know, it's a couple $100 here and there, but yeah, daddy can afford that. It's not like I'm putting $10,000 on a fucking game or anything, so I wouldn't recommend that for you guys either. But I would recommend you using mybookie.com. Promo code Drinking Bros will double that first deposit all the way up to $1,000. Next up, we got firstform.com/Drinking Bros. I did take these. I think the single was on you, but I just took these during the show. These microfactors. Can't live without them. They sit next to my desk here, and it is literally my reminder every single day to take my fucking vitamins. That's why the box sits here. I've even got a backup box. No lie. So, boom. When this is out, I can trade it back in. And then the liver detox here every Mondays for these, for the big guy on Mondays, because I like to party over the weekends. But the microfactors are the big six. You got the antioxidants, the CoQ10s, multivitamins, fruits and veggies, EFAs, and the probiotics. They're also a protein company, and that's what they were built on, Dan.
Yeah, they've got the best protein in the business, a good variety of flavors. It mixes well. There's not a bunch of clumpy bullshit. Macros are really good. You're getting about 20 grams of protein per scoop from Formula One, which is kind of a pre-workout or just protein, and then there's a meal replacement called Level One. That's a little bit more. It's more. It's like 150 calories, 25 grams per scoop, something like that. And then the level one protein they also use in the level one bars which are the fucking best. They are, by a pretty wide margin, in my opinion, the best
protein bars on the planet. Like the box is empty. So I'll, again, let you know a secret. That box in front of Dan's desk is empty. We all eat the fuck out of these things all the time. It's great. The peanut butter chocolate and pretzel is the jam. Andy, you guys did it again over there. This is literally one of the best companies there is. We're lucky they're on the show. Mm-hmm. Go to firstform.com/drinkingbros today. Free shipping on orders over $75 over there. Next up, we got bioproteintech.com. Guys, here's why your hormones suck. Most guys are focused on testosterone, not even half the puzzle. In order to absorb testosterone optimally, got to have adequate growth hormone, more specifically, its end result growth factors. Unfortunately, growth hormone decreases every year after puberty, which may explain your poor performance at the gym, even your excess body fat. That's where BioPro Plus comes in. BioPro Plus gives you back those growth factors naturally, giving you HGH-like results with zero needles, zero side effects, and zero doctor visits, all at a fraction of the prescription treatments there. So, if you guys are looking to change the way you look, feel, and just your overall performance in the gym, go to bioproteintech.com. Use the promo code DRINKINGBROS for $30 off your first order. We've been using it for about 9 months. Comes in vials, very similar to the microfactors. You get 30 in a little box. Pop the vial underneath your tongue right before night. Feel that sting. You know that it's working, and it's great for your skin, too. Huge fan of these guys. Bioproteintech.com. Link in the audio description as well if you want to check them out. Don't forget to use that promo code DRINKINGBROS for $30 off your first order. BioPro Plus is getting real, guys, real results, real fast. Last but not least, we got DRINKINGBROSTICKETS.com. So if you want tickets to any of these games coming up here, these NFL games, decently priced this week. So have fun, man. Shit. We got every single NFL team there is. And shit, anything you can imagine that sells tickets, we got it. College football. Rodeos, concerts, you name it, we have it over here, and tickets are reasonably priced, which is nice. Now, if you're trying to go to Georgia, Alabama this weekend, good luck, okay? That's a big ticket item, guys. I think last row in the stadium's going for $300, so maybe not that one, but everything else is pretty affordable, and it's about $10 cheaper than StubHub. Head on over to DrinkingBrosTickets.com. Speaking of which, Thursday night game. Although these teams aren't good, it is a rivalry, and there'll be people there. $60 if you want to roll out to Cowboys at Giants. This is Cowboys minus -6. D'Anthony, who you got?
Yeah, Cowboys minus -6. This will be their breakout game. Obviously, the Giants suck. the Giants have a very I struggle to say a one-dimensional offense because Singletary can run the ball a little bit, but it's mostly just like keep Daniel Jones in the pocket and make him throw the ball, right? Let them run the ball up the middle. With Singletary, the defense on the Giants side is bad. This is what do you call it? A get right game for the Cowboys. I expect them to score 40 points, give or take.
Yeah, I this is like a 35-7 game in my opinion. I'm with you. I think the Cowboys turn it around here. If you're a Giants fan, Malik Nabers looks as good as advertised. So
yeah, he's great.
That's a bright spot.
Need a quarterback up there.
Well, you need a whole different team too. So you can scrap everybody else from that lineup. Yeah. Just keep him and then start over, which it appears they probably will do after the season's over. Next up, we got Saints at the Falcons. This is the rivalry game here. Atlanta minus -2.5 at home. You got to see those Saints fans up close and personal, Delco. You love them, don't you?
Delusional. But I mean, super nice and friendly before and after the game, during the game, a little unhinged. Sure. But, you know, it is what it is. There's so many Philly fans there as well. It was like 60-40 Philly fans, actually. It was kind of like
that's a home
game.
That's what I heard. Yeah. That's what
I heard. It was crazy. Everybody just go birds every other second, especially on bourbon. I mean, they were saying Drew Brees was better than Patrick Mahomes. I just couldn't listen to them.
No, I can't either. And that's been the problem over the years. The other big problem over the years is Saints and Falcons aren't very good and haven't been over the years. Drew Brees was the anomaly there. They got pretty good when he was there. But Yeah, man. Look, Atlanta minus 2.5. Do you trust the Falcons?
No, not really, but I don't think – I don't know who's going to win this game. I mean, it's the Falcons have kind of like
not Falcons really – need it if they're going to
they need
anything.
It. They need it. It's a bigger game from them, but it's also a statement game for the Saints. Now, the oddly enough, I don't think we would have thought – well, I would have about the Falcons, but not about the Saints. These have been two of the best defenses in the league so far. The Falcons, I expected. They had a good defense already. They brought in Simmons and Judon. I mean, they're a top five defensive team for sure. The Saints have been performing really well on defense. Kirk Cousins has not been protecting the ball very well. He's thrown some silly picks. I think I'll take the under 42.5.
Yeah.
I think this is like a fucking 2017 game or some shit like that.
And it really is the rivalry game there. So, like, yeah. Everybody shows up.
It's going to be brutal
this.
From start to finish this game.
It will be.
I think it'll be low scoring.
Yeah. I think the Falcons actually pull this out. And that 2.5 is going to get me in because I think they win by a field goal. I'm not even saying this is a homer. I think this team. I like Kirk Cousins sucks. But I think this is going to be a gross game. I'm with you on that under. This is 23-20 or fucking 20-17, somewhere in there. I don't think it's going to be very high scoring. Curious to see what Cousins do. He's got 3 picks on the year already. Not great up there for Atlanta, but there's just a weird gut feeling that they pull this game out.
They need it. They need to win. And Kirk Cousins is good. He's a good quarterback. They're just kind of figuring it out there. I think he's getting healthier as the weeks go on. He's getting not healthier might not be the right word. He's getting more confidence in his back leg, which is letting him plant and throw the ball better. He threw the ball better last game than he has so far.
If Saquon Barkley, though, doesn't drop that pass,
yeah.
They're 0-3, the Falcons.
Yeah, yeah so. What I don't know is if the Saints defense is actually good or if they've been running into teams who have not been playing well. The Cowboys have not been playing well,
yep.
Right? And the Eagles have also not really been playing well on offense. And they've got a bunch of dudes that are banged up. So the Falcons are more or less, all their offensive players are healthy, right? Kirk Cousins seems to be progressing in the right direction. So this is a statement game for both of these teams. I don't know what's going to happen. I just think I think it'll be a defensive struggle.
I think it's going to be Koo with a last second field goal. That's how I feel about this. This is like any other rivalry game. And the Saints fans travel to Atlanta for this bullshit too. So yeah, you'll see a lot of Saints fans there. Next up, Rams, Bears. Wish this game never existed. This is Chicago minus 2.5. They're favored at home.
I mean, it's because Nakua. I mean, the Rams are not very good, but
Cup's out. Yeah, Nakua's out.
I think the Rams win this game. I'll take Rams plus 2.5.
Same. I am as well. And I think Stafford is able to pull this out, same as he was last week. So I'm going to take the Rams. Next up, we got the Vikings at the Packers. I've bet against the Vikings all year round, and it has cost me. Now they're going into Green Bay. It's minus 2.5. Is Jordan Love back, or is he still out?
No, he's out.
Fuck. And they're still favored? God damn it, man. Are you going to make me pick the Vikings on this fucking show today? Is that what's going to happen today? I'm going to pick the fucking Vikings. Bro! I'm not fucking doing it, dude. I'm picking the fucking Packers, all right, at 2.5. I don't know what weird offense this is. This is literally Michigan's offense right now in college football where, what do you have, 32 yards passing last game or something fucking weird? 12 throws. Yeah, dude, this is, it's weird, it's gross, and they're going to chew the clock on this one. Fuck it. Packers. And this is out of spite for all the Vikings fans. That's it. Just despite you guys, I don't care. There's no rhyme or reason to this game whatsoever. I still don't believe in Malik Willis. I don't believe in Durr either. And yeah.
How can you hate Viking fans?
Me?
Yeah.
Because they yell skull and no one knows what the fuck that means.
Yeah, I know what that means.
It's a Viking.
No,
it's
I know, but you're not a Viking.
They have ancestors.
I really don't think that.
A team who's never won a Super Bowl can't be giving me your catchphrase every 10 seconds on social media.
It's like, I don't know who the most annoying catchphrase fan base is.
Who dat say gonna beat them Saints?
No, no.
Who dat with the Saints is fucking stupid. Who day?
Who day
with the
is
Bengals
worse.
Is fucking stupid.
Yeah. Because what's
all
even...
of these things are stupid. Anytime somebody walked up to me on campus and said we are, I said you're a faggot. Shut the fuck up. Don't ever talk to me again. I don't want to hear that stupid shit. Let's just go watch the game.
I will say, as an objective viewer,
objective,
I know I'm not objective, but
piece of shit.
Just seeing Eagles fans drunkenly just go, hey, gee, the entire weekend, I'm sure that had to fucking really
hurt. Yeah, that sucks. And then the Jets, like J-E-T-S, like, oh, you can spell.
Yeah, we can spell.
I don't think anyone's ever confused a Philly fan base with being a great one, you know?
I don't know.
When we're eating shit off the streets.
When they fucking burn their own city down, even when they win, that's a real team.
So do Canadians.
Yeah, I mean, shit, they burned it down this weekend, and they beat the Saints, for Christ's sakes.
I got to say, having gone to the Chiefs-Falcons game this weekend in Atlanta, mm-hmm. I left that game so annoyed by Chiefs fans who decided to dunk on Atlanta fans. The Chiefs do the chop as well, right?
Oh, yeah, that's right.
But they're like third-tier adapters to that after FSU owns it, really. And then the Braves took it over when Deion Sanders started playing there. And they're doing the chop. I'm like, you're in fucking Atlanta.
Yeah.
This is the Chop's city.
It's called the Chop House.
Yeah, like you are not, this is not yours. And they weren't doing it because they were like, yeah, we stole it. They just don't understand. They're just like, oh, we got an Indian thing too. So,
Well, I mean, like, you know, the Chiefs are just bad people. Bad people
on that team.
Definitely on the team. I mean, their whole roster is full of just, you know, terrible, terrible humans.
Yeah, I finally, because I'll read the message boards. I read are like Drinking Bros Sports on Facebook. I'll read those. I know you guys, and it's fun. And there's some Vikings fans that were like, "Hey, Moon, we can score." And I was like, "Look, win something." I go, "You're the same as the Falcons. We're both loser franchises. We're losers." We are fucking losers.
Until you win.
That's it.
I mean, have the Vikings...
Just win one.
Wait, have the Vikings been in a Super Bowl?
Yeah. Yes, the Purple People Eaters, I believe, lost to the Chiefs in the Chiefs' first Super Bowl.
Oh, you don't say.
80...
You don't
say.
No, seven, like early 70s.
Yeah,
early 70s. Okay, so if
50 years.
If we weren't born... The last time it happened, no one fucking cares.
No, nobody cares.
Super Bowl IV, the Chiefs beat the Vikings 23-7.
No, we're not doing that. Next game, Steelers at Colts. Steelers are going to fucking wreck the Colts.
This is 1.5. This is Steelers minus 1.5. What am I missing here?
What you're missing is, I have no idea, but the Steelers, here, my prediction is that the Steelers have multiple takeaways, two or three takeaways, whether they're fumbles or interceptions.
Richardson already has 6 picks on the
probably
year.
They have... maybe strip sack. Something's going to happen where they get the ball back. I predict at least one defensive touchdown for the Steelers, and the Colts defense is okay, but the Steelers have worked out a system that's good for them right now.
Yeah.
And I think they're going to double down on it here. And I think, I actually think that Fields is going to have a big game too.
I'm all in on the Steelers on this one. But every time I've said that on the show about the NFL this year, it's the opposite. So, you can come on in if you want. There's a gentleman who's about 6'9 back there. You can pop on in. Grab yourself a hard AF seltzer, sir, from the fridge, and you're good to go. But yeah, look, this will be probably my biggest bet of the weekend, to be honest with you, the Steelers. Good defense and smart play calling out of there, and Richardson with 6 picks. Yeah, dude, you're going to fucking turn the ball over in this game.
I mean, though. They can't. They've had trouble with the Packers and the Bears in the last 2 weeks. Putting points on the board, and neither one of those teams defensively. The Packers are okay defensively, but the Bears are not.
No,
it's like
all in on this big dollar amount on this game. Next up, Broncos Jets. This is Jets minus 7.5. I'm going to kick this down 0.5 points to 7, but I'm all in on the Jets. Last week was you went against a team that just didn't show up. They didn't play the game. The Jets are definitely going to show up. They'll be 3-1 after this.
It's a revenge spot, too.
Yeah.
For Hackett.
Sure is. And Jets will be 3-1 after this. I mean, it's shit. Bills lose, then they're tied with the Bills. Because I think the Bills are going to lose this week. But who you got?
7.5 is a lot of points for an NFL game.
It is, but...
No.
It's the Broncos, dude.
Nope.
All right. Well, I'm doing it. I
think the Jets will win easily. They may win by 20 points for all I know, but none of this looks like a good bet to me.
Jets minus 7. I'm in. Give it to me.
The under is too low. No.
They're 38.5. It's all bad, but
I'm not betting anymore.
Jets have a great defense. I don't think the Broncos score 10 points in this game. I don't. Next up, we got the Eagles at the Buccaneers. Eagles minus 2.5. Is Baker going to lose back-to-back home games here down in Tampa Bay? D'Anthony, who you got?
Yeah, I don't think Baker loses back-to-back weeks. I think they're going to beat the Eagles at home. Eagles are fucking banged up bad, dude.
Yeah.
That's the real problem. Like, they're, you know, they were one play away from winning last week. So let's not pretend like they shouldn't be 3-0. They should be 3-0 right now.
Yeah.
But still, this is a tough game for them. On the road, the Bucs didn't look good at home last week, but on the road.
Two out of your three starting wide receivers are out.
Two out of three receivers are out. The Bucs are well coached. They're going to pile up on Saquon Barkley. So we'll see how the Eagles approach it. Sirianni is I don't think he's a very good coach, to be honest. And when you go into tough game matchups like this, I tend to give the nod to the better coached team.
You think Bowles is better than Sirianni?
I do, yeah.
Okay.
And I think Baker has got heart.
That's going to hurt a lot of feelings at home, by the way.
Why?
Bowles is terrible, I think, but
I don't think he's a bad coach. I think he's a good coach. I think that Sirianni is a terrible coach. Honestly, he's Delco. What do you think about that? I mean, he's like,
well, he lost the team last
year. It's whiny stuff. It's pass the blame. It's lose the locker room with this guy, and he's not it'd be one thing if it was all that stuff and he was a great tactician, but he's not.
Just a lot of dumb decisions. Like last week, we went for it on 4th and 1 with like 10 seconds left at the end of the half. Best case scenario, we get the first down and get an extra 2 yards to kick the field goal. Just kick the field goal.
Yeah.
Just kick the field goal.
Just kick the fucking field goal, man. I still think the Eagles win. I'm going to take the Eagles this week, minus 2.5 down there. Barkley's been on fire. That could be enough this week.
Yeah.
And but the defense for Philly is really fucking good.
If you have Dallas Goedert, I would start him.
He was 10 catches last week?
Yeah, he's going to get more.
Yeah, I agree. Because your two best receivers are out. So, yeah, he's going to get more. If he's out there on the waiver wire, grab him. Next, so we got Bengals at the Panthers. Didn't think anything of this game last week. And then all of a sudden, this is Cincy minus 4.
Yeah.
That means they would start off 0-4 if they lose this game.
I think the Panthers are probably going to win this game.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah, I think.
Bengals are 0-4?
I think the Bengals have. There's a big problem with Ja'Marr Chase right now. Not happy. When your best offensive player, and look, Burrow's the quarterback, he's the leader, blah, blah, blah. When your best offensive player is unhappy, we've seen time and time again how this works out. It fucking fizzled out Buffalo season last year when Stephon Diggs decided not to play anymore. It happens all the time. I think the Bengals are in a very, very bad situation right now. And the Panthers are playing like they got nothing to lose.
It's Andy Dalton's revenge.
They've got nothing to lose. And they've got weapons on that team. They've got good offensive players. The defense sucks, but Chuba Hubbard is not bad. He's a good running back. He puts up numbers.
Okay,
they can score some points. I think. I think it's less though about the Panthers, who are they're the bottom five team in the league. The Bengals are fucked as a team, right? It doesn't matter talent versus talent. I don't think that's the issue here. I think that the Bengals are fucked in the head right now.
Burrow's got to change his hair.
He does. He's doing too much.
He's doing too much. He's losing the locker room with his hair.
Yeah, he's doing too much, and it looks weird to those pressers, especially when you're 0-3.
And also looks weird that he shows up fucking dummy, dressed like a fucking lesbian to the game.
Doesn't hurt. What are you doing,
dude? That's not inspiring. Show up in a fucking with a fucking machine gun or something.
Yeah,
something tough. Like you. Why? I don't understand why professional athletes do this stuff. Like, oh, they show up in like a fucking women's pantsuit
to be a style
like,
icon.
What are you doing, man? You look like a fucking
Rodman.
Retard.
Yeah, I guess. It wasn't great for Rodman either. Look, I just can't see the Bengals starting off 0-4, and I'm going to take the Bengals here -4 in this one. If they lose this, their season is done.
Their season's already done.
I don't know that anybody's ever come back from 0-4 and made the playoffs.
I don't think they're done.
Right? Season's done. Their defense sucks.
Ravens are going to lose. They'll be 1-3. I mean,
we'll get there. We'll get there.
Yeah, I think the Ravens are not as good.
We'll find out.
Either. But then again, Derrick Henry's a late season guy. So,
and I just don't buy the Steelers. Like, All right. They might go 4-0, but they're going to regress. They're going to get back to 500.
They'll regress, but the Steelers are a formulaic team. All they have to do is play the defense they play and not turn the ball over. They'll win most games.
And all you have to do if you go 4-0, all you have to do if you go 3-0 is 500 the rest of the year. Yeah. If you go 4-0.
Which they will do.
Yeah.
They will regress.
So, I mean, look, but they're in the playoffs and it doesn't matter.
I'm just saying, Steelers. I just need the Bengals to get back to 9 wins. I think 9 wins, 10 wins. They can do it.
Well, they have to win this week. They cannot start off 0-4.
They're not
going
to lose to the fucking Panthers.
I don't think so either. So I'm betting the Bengals. But who knows? I was wrong last week on the Panthers. Next up, Jaguars at the Texans. This is Texans -6.5. Who you got?
I mean, it's just a shame that it's not a bigger spread. The Jaguars are terrible at everything.
Yep.
The Texans are, again, they've deep, well-coached. I think Mixon's back this week, right?
I think so.
Hang on a second. Let me check that. Well, he wasn't in practice today. So we'll see. I'll wait on this until Thursday or Friday. We'll see if he practices tomorrow or Friday. Then I'll make a bet. But if Mixon's in the game, then Houston -6.5 all day.
Yeah, I agree. I'm taking the Texans in this one. Next up, you got the Redskins at the Cardinals. This is Arizona -3. Who you got?
I've got the over, 50.5.
50.5 in this one, yeah. They'll be slanging around. This is going to be like a college game.
This is going to be a 35-33 game or something like that. I don't like the spread because I don't know who's going to win. Neither one of them are particularly good on defense, but they're both going to score. 50.5 is super low.
I like it just because...
It'd be one thing if Arizona was going west to east and playing that game. Maybe you would think that their offense isn't going to throw it up, but Redskins going east to west, which is not a big deal, and... They're both good. Like 50.5, that's 26-25 game. That seems extremely low.
I'll take it, and it's all your college superstars in here. This feels like a college game. Kingsbury's over there as the OC.
Yeah.
Give me that over all day, and tickets are fucking $19 on Drinking Bros tickets. So if you want to go to this, $19, and it's a fun game to go to.
If you're in the area, you should go to this game because some of the most exciting offensive players in all of the NFL are in this game.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like Jaden Daniels, fucking Marvin Harrison.
All the young superstars, Jaden Daniels, Marvin, all these
Brian
guys.
Brian Robinson's great too.
Kingsbury revenge spot here.
Yeah,
too.
Sure is too. Wouldn't shock me if the Redskins won this game, but I like the over, and I think the spread is right where it should be because it will probably be a field goal game, to be honest with you. Next up, we got the Patriots at the 49ers. Woo! Massive spread on this one. San Fran -10. Yikes.
No way.
Yeah.
Not with McCaffrey out. I mean, look, they'll probably put it together. Probably win by 7, 8, 10 is too much.
I'm going to knock this down a half a point, and I'll take San Fran -9.5. Watching the Patriots on that Thursday night game, my God, man.
Yeah, they're not good.
Jacoby Brissett, why? Why? I guess why not get your fucking franchise quarterback hurt with Drake May?
They're not good. What I probably...
Stevenson had a broken finger in that game.
Yeah, I don't know if he's coming back or not, actually.
Not sure. He came back in the game, but he didn't look great.
Yeah, I mean, but the swelling after, I don't know if he can play.
He got caught in a face mask.
Yeah, and even if he does, like, he'll be able to run the ball, but Ramondre Stevenson is also a very good receiver and probably the best receiver on their team, actually. He's the only good offensive player on the team.
Yeah.
But what I will probably do is prop bets on this. Like Juwan Jennings yards. I think he'll be over 100 yards. And then I think Mason, his over under for carries, or not carries, but rushing yards is probably going to be in the high 60s. I'll probably take that too. I haven't looked yet on my bookie, but I'm sure it'll probably be in the high 60s, like 65 to 70.
They usually pop it up on Fridays.
Yeah,
there,
yeah, so I'll probably take that because... For a couple of reasons. One, 49ers probably get up early. Mason's going to run the ball a lot going down the stretch. Patriots, okay, but not really good defense. And he'll probably get over 100 there. So that's my thought process.
Yeah, I'm going to knock this down a half a point and take San Fran. Browns at the Raiders out there. This is the Raiders -2.
Yeah, this is the Meineke Incompetence Bowl. It's like two of the worst teams in the NFL. I don't go anywhere near this. Don't bet on it. Don't watch it.
Tickets are expensive.
Pretend it doesn't because it's at fucking Allegiant. Oh. Everything's going to be expensive. You can have any event and they'll sell it out. It's because it's a dope. Oh, I'm told. We haven't been there yet, but yeah. I'm told it's awesome.
We've been on the outside of
yeah.
it. But yeah, last Don't row go. Is going for $150 here. Shocking. Vegas minus two, all in on Minshew. Bounce back game for the league MVP there. And they win this by a field goal. And they get to 2-2, and then they climb their way back up into the wild card there. You're not watching this probably, right?
No, I'm not. Yeah. I think Myles Garrett will probably rape Gardner Minshew on the field.
If he plays.
In front of his entire family.
If he plays. Revenge game for Minshew. They let him down last week. His team didn't show up. And he'll be back.
So he's getting revenge against his own team.
Yeah. 2-2.
Not really how that goes.
2-2. You have to, dude. You gotta show some fire in that belly, dude. And he's gonna bring it. Raiders all day long, minus two. Next up, Chiefs at the Chargers. Chiefs minus 7.5. Look, a lot of Chiefs fans are gonna be at this game. It's in LA. Mm-hmm. Nobody gives a shit about the Chargers.
No, it'll be a sea of red.
Sure will be. Who you got in this one?
You know, I don't know yet, actually. The Chargers are going to try to grind this down to a halt.
They always do.
I mean, that's the only chance they really have. So I don't know, man.
For me, my bookie's got some of the best teasers and all that stuff in the business. This is a big teaser game for me. So I'm going to knock this down. I'll do six on this one. I'll knock it down to 1.5 for the Chiefs, knock that over under all the way down to 33.5, which is hilarious. Chiefs might get that on their own, and that's where I'm going to roll with this one. I don't know. This also feels like a game where the Chiefs could just fucking not show up because they don't care. They're already 3-0, and they're just like...
Yeah. Yeah. I mean,
they have those games, dude. It's like the Warriors. So
it's on the road, and the Chargers run the ball really well, maybe better than anybody in the NFL right now. And they also don't give... Their passing defense is pretty good. Right, not that anything's going to stop Mahomes, but they'll be able to control the clock in this game because the Chiefs can't run the ball.
Yeah, and they're
maybe that fucking cracker runs it well again. He had a great week last week. Not like stat wise a great week, but
the honky
performed really well, especially like getting 5 to 7 yard runs on first down and giving them second and shorts, which is where Patrick Mahomes lives. Yeah. You give him second and short, he'll win every fucking game. So they can do that maybe, but just what I'm talking about is just controlling the clock. Chargers are going to have the advantage there. 7.5 is too many points for that, in my opinion.
Yeah,
it'll probably be a closer game.
I agree. I think it'll be a closer game. I'm going to still take the Chiefs, but I'm going to take these in teasers across the board. J.K. Dobbins has been on fire this year, and they're not letting Herbert throw the ball, but that's also Harbaugh's offense. So.
Probably good for Herbert because I don't think he's that great of a quarterback.
I like him. I think he's great. He's it's going to be weird though with what they're doing, but he got paid anyways, and who gives a shit? Next up, all right, game of the week here, Sunday night game. Thankfully, so this will be a blast. Bills at the Ravens. This is Ravens minus 2.5, exactly where I thought the spread would be, and I'm all in on the Ravens.
Bills. Plus 2.5.
Really? You think the Bills go to 4-0, huh?
Yeah. Yeah, I think the Bills are, for a couple of reasons. One, we talk about this every year. Derrick Henry never has back-to-back 100-yard rushing games until week 8. He's done it once in his entire career, twice before week 8, twice in a row before week 8. So he's going to have a rough game. That's a statistical prediction. It doesn't necessarily mean it's going to happen, but based on all of his history in the NFL, he's going to have a rough game this week. And Josh Allen's on right now. He's on a roll, and it's not going to be the Ravens that stop him. They're just not playing.
Good defense.
They're not playing well enough as a team right now to do it. It's one like the individual elements of the Ravens are performing adequately right now, but as a team, they're not performing well, which is like third down conversions, for example, not turning the ball over, blah, blah, blah. Forcing turnovers, getting stops on third down, all that stuff that really matters about cycling through series and shit like that. And the Bills are moving the ball well. They're doing really, I think they're leading the league on third down conversions right now. And Allen's still early in the season, still got his legs. I think they beat the Ravens.
I think
I'm going to bet Bills money line. I think they win the game.
Okay. I've got Ravens in this one, and it's the first test for Josh Allen. So we'll see. Look, if you're a Bills fan, you should be excited about this, because if he wins, then yeah, you guys got a shot this year. If not, it's a tough schedule coming up, man, for the rest of the year for you guys. So could be a dogfight the rest of the year. 4-0 though would certainly fucking help. But I'm taking the Ravens. Next up, we got Titans at the Dolphins. This is an NFL preseason game. I'm not touching this. This is Miami minus one over unders 36.5. You're on a third string quarterback down there in Miami and Tim Boyle. You got Will Levis on the other side of the ball. This is a gross, gross game in Miami.
They might start humid.
It's going to be humid out there. There's no fucking dome on that stadium. It sucks. This is awful. Awful game, dude, all the way around.
So Miami signed Tyler Huntley from the Ravens.
When?
Like a week ago. So all right. He might get the start.
Hey, if Huntley's in there, he wasn't bad, man, for the Ravens. When he came in and spelled Jackson during that time, like, shit. All right, then you got something. But if you just signed him, I don't know what you do on a short week like this. I don't touch this gambling-wise. And this is the second Monday night in a row where they're doing double headers on Monday night. Wife hates it. Every woman in America hates it. Sorry about it. But, yeah, I don't bet this one, but I bet the next one. Shit, I don't even think I watched this game, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
Do you?
No, probably. Well, you know what? Actually, I probably will, because I think they're going to start Huntley, you would think, right?
I think so.
Like, there's not going to be anything else they can do. Huntley's used to playing in Baltimore, which is like, we're not throwing the ball too much, right? Now, Miami was designed to throw the ball. So it's going to be, I might watch it just for the fucking, because
I hope, if Huntley plays, I'll watch it. If it's yeah, Tim Boyle, I'm not watching.
I'm not watching Tim Boyle do anything. I would watch Huntley do his taxes before I would watch Tim Boyle play football. Yeah. But the Titans suck. So why not? If you think you're going to have to use Huntley, because he's better than Boyle, there's no question about that. If you think you're going to have to use him long term, get him in there now. Get him reps against this shitty team. If they do that, I'll probably watch, because it'll be entertaining at the least to see him play in a fucking air raid offense for the first time. We've never seen. He's played for Baltimore.
I know.
Only in his career.
Look, I'll watch it for that. But yeah. Otherwise, another game is 45 minutes later here that yeah. I am watching. Seahawks at the Lions. Seahawks are 3-0. Lions minus 3.5. Who you got?
Lions at home. 3.5 is too much. I'll probably take it down to 3 just yep. to push. But yeah, the Lions should win this game. They need, this is a statement game for them too, because they've won 2 out of 3, but I don't think they've looked very good, to be honest. They've got to get their shit. Now, David Montgomery has looked good and Jamar Gibbs has looked good.
Because they're splitting carries.
I have them both. I have them both in fantasy, and they're both averaging like 14.5 a game yep. right now, which is fucking that on paper. You're like, all right, that's great. Now, what else is going on there? We'll yeah. see. But Geno is still turning the ball over now a lot. He had that one good year with a good ratio, but mostly through his career, it's been about 1 to 1.5 to 1 touchdown to interception ratio. And look, the Lions are primed to take the ball away. They got a pretty good pass rush. They've really improved their cornerbacks. I think they probably get a pick or two. Maybe run one back. I just think it's a close game.
I did too.
They're both good teams.
I think it's a one score game. I've got the Lions here by 7. I'll still knock this down a half a point. So it's 3. You know the rules in the show. I always do that. And look, I know the Seahawks are 3-0. I'd love to see Sam Howell in there instead of Geno Smith, man. I think with the receivers and the running back and all that other shit, I just think Geno is cooked. 3 interceptions already on the year, and he had the one good year. He got the bag. Good for him. Congratulations, but this isn't the dude to do it.
I don't understand why, like, we often refer to the NFL as a copycat league, yes?
Yeah.
Why isn't anybody doing what Andy Reid is doing? Like,
I don't know. Just
watch. The reason that he's been so successful over the past 5 years isn't just because of Patrick Mahomes, because they had no receivers for 3 of those years, right?
Yeah.
Now they do this year, right? But the thing that made that system still workable, one, is that he's not retarded. He doesn't make the same mistakes, like the clock management mistakes that Mike McCarthy makes, or the tactical mistakes that fucking Sirianni makes, or any of that shit. Fine, fair enough. But the way that their offense operates with the subtle wide receiver picks, somebody is always open. That's why Mahomes doesn't get sacked a bunch, right? Aside from his ability to scramble and all that, he's great. He's a great quarterback. I'm just saying that why aren't people doing that? If you've got the three receivers that you have in Seattle, one of those dudes should be literally wide open on every single play if you're programming that offense.
But right? If you don't have Mahomes at quarterback and you have a Geno Smith, you just can't do the same shit.
Yeah, you can. You can still run wide receiver picks and make sure dudes are open.
But he's missing wide open dudes is the problem. And like, I just look, I have a bunch of these guys in fantasy, so I have to watch a lot of Seahawks games. Mm. The amount of fucking screaming I do at Geno Smith is probably absurd.
Yeah, he's not very good. I agree. Sam Howell's more accurate, so they should use him just for that reason.
And he's young. Like, well, see what happens.
That certainly helps as well. Because you can, these receivers they have, they're going to be here for a little while. Metcalf signed an extension, and the other two guys are fucking young.
Young,
right?
Yeah.
And their running back is also
Tyler Lockett's getting up there a little bit, but
he's like 28 though, right?
But Walker's young in the backfield. Yeah, like, Walker's young.
He's
young
like 24.
Team.
So like, get the young guy in now, get him reps. I think he's more. If you've got receivers that are that good, you don't need a quarterback that's fucking out there slanging it like Jameis Winston or somebody, right? What you need a guy is Brock Purdy to deliver the ball where it's supposed to fucking be and let them do their job.
I want to see Sam Howell in this offense. I just think it'd be fun.
Yeah, well, it ain't going to happen.
No. But. Well, maybe. We'll see. Appreciate you tuning in, kids. Head on over to Patreon. Drinking Bros Podcast will be live in about 5 minutes over there. Don't forget to rate this show a 5-star and leave a quick review. Also, head on over to Spotify. Just a 5-star and you can walk away. For D'Anthony D'Anthony Holloway, I'm Ross Patterson. This is the NFL Week 4 Prediction Show, brought to you by MyBookie.com. Good night, everyone.